Iran's president says resistance is the only way to stop Israel's savagery and aggression, and those who thought otherwise are changing their approach. North Korea denies it's provided weapons to Russia, rejecting U.S. claims that Pyongyang is replenishing Moscow's arms stocks amid the Ukraine war. And a new report says skyrocketing costs of renting a house in the U.S. is forcing young workers to take on additional jobs or roommates to afford those housing costs. Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story, Iran's president says that Lebanon has proved that resistance is the only way to stop the Zionist regime's savagery and aggression. Ebrahim Raisi made the remark in a meeting with Lebanon's Prime Minister Najib Mikati on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly meeting. He said that those who thought Israel could be countered without resistance have realized their errors and are mending their ways. Raisi stressed normalization of relations with some regional countries will not bring security to Israel, but only deepens regional people's hatred of the regime. The Iranian president also touched on Lebanon's internal politics, saying all ethnic and religious groups in the country need to unite to create a powerful government. Raisi said Iran attaches great importance to the security and peace of Lebanon. Meanwhile, the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, has called for the prosecution of former President Donald Trump for ordering the assassination of top General Qasem Soleimani.
The fair pursuit of justice in the face of the crime the former American president admitted to is serving the humanity. We will seek through a fair tribunal to bring to justice those who ordered and those who committed the martyrdom of our beloved General Qasem Soleimani.
Addressing the UN General Assembly, Raisi underlined that the Islamic Republic will legally pursue the U.S. assassination of the anti-terror icon. He also hailed Iran's role for confronting high-handed and interventionist policies, including, quote, U.S.-crafted terrorism. Elsewhere in his speech, Raisi strongly condemned the West for applying double standards when it comes to the issue of human rights. He said those supporting rights violations and terrorism must be held to account. The Iranian president also stressed on the need for multilateralism, saying it has far-reaching significance for a just world. Author and journalist Eric Wahlberg from Toronto says that raising the issue of General Qasem Soleimani's assassination at the General Assembly was a positive step.
Well, I think it's an excellent move on President Raisi's part. This was outrageous, and it was ignored by the world. It was just disappeared, assassination of a senior official. So I don't know if the UN can do much, but it's worthwhile just to keep the world aware of who the real terrorists are in the world. Biden spoke out against terrorism and to support Ukraine, but his version of terrorism is completely the reverse of the real terrorism going on, which is predominantly by the U.S. itself. So it's good that at least Iran is not afraid to stand up at the U.N. and call things as they are. So that is very, very positive sign out of the UN General Assembly.
And journalist and author Daniel Lazar says U.S. has gone to great lengths to protect its global hegemonic status.
The demise of the Soviet Union in 1991 essentially left the U.S. as the sole remaining superpower, and the U.S. has done its best to make the most of that, of its status, by imposing its rules on all other countries, or doing its best to, and tolerating absolutely no dissent. So, you know, so a country like Iran finds itself, under attack by America, under ceaseless attack. I mean, its scientists are killed, its top generals are assassinated, it's subject to a brutal economic blockade. And it just goes to show how fundamentally intolerant the American hegemon really is. And other countries which run afoul of America, Nicaragua, for example, Venezuela, or certainly Russia, receive the same treatment. And this kind of unilateral assertion of American power, can only lead to confrontation and war. There simply is no way out of a military showdown.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that major world powers try to topple the Islamic Republic by supporting former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein in his war against Iran. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remarks on the occasion of Iran's Sacred Defense Week. He said the world powers at the time could not tolerate a new independent country. That's why they decided to wage war on Iran through a power-thirsty man who was at the helm in neighboring Iraq. He noted that Iranians, however, managed to upend the enemy's plots through resistance. The leader said even though war is a bitter experience, Iranians were able to turn that threat into new opportunities by emboldening the domestic military and defense capabilities. Iraq waged an 8-year war against Iran only a year after the 1979 Islamic Revolution. During the war, Iraq was fully supported by the U.S. and its allies, while the same countries denied Iran access to foreign arms. Now, North Korea has denied U.S. allegations that it is providing arms to Russia. Pyongyang says it has never supplied weapons or ammunition to Moscow and does not plan to do so in the future. The North Korean media quoted a senior defense ministry official as saying such reports are rumors spread by the U.S. and other hostile forces. The official warned the U.S. to keep its mouth shut and stop circulating rumors aimed at tarnishing North Korea's image. Pyongyang's reaction came after U.S. State Department spokesperson said earlier this month that Russia is in the process of purchasing rockets and artillery shells from North Korea for use in Ukraine. The White House spokesperson later called that a potential purchase. John Kirby added there were no indications the purchase had been completed and certainly no indications that those weapons were being used in Ukraine. Joining us now from Seoul for an update on the story and more is Jennifer Chang. So, Jennifer, hope you're safe and doing well out there. We have a lot of a he said, she said. Tell us what the story is all about.
Well, the U.S. made a mistake by earlier this month announcing that Russia was turning to North Korea for millions of rockets and artillery shells for its war in Ukraine. And later, the White House national security spokesperson, John Kirby, had to deny that and say that this was just a potential arms deal and there was no evidence to support this sale of weapons by North Korea to Russia, which would break UN sanctions against the North. Now, the North is saying it has the right as a sovereign state to export arms, but that it has never done so to Russia and that it is not planning to do so in the future either. And this is a real setback for the U.S., which had claimed that the North was doing something that could draw a lot of opposition from many countries across the globe. Of course, another report had said that Russia had turned to Iran for drones to fight this war in Ukraine, and Russia had demanded that the U.S. supply evidence for this accusation made by Washington. So this is very controversial right now. The claims made by America that Russia is turning to its longtime allies, North Korea and Iran, for weapons for its war in Ukraine. And even though the North did declare that it views the breakaway People's Republic, the two of them, in eastern Ukraine which are Russian-backed as independent sovereign states, this does not mean that the North is selling weapons to Russia. It's quite one thing to support an ally verbally and another to actually support that ally with military arms sales. So it could be severe repercussions if in fact it is found that the North is making such arms sales to Russia.
Right. Now, does the North think that this is a bad intel that the U.S. government may have gotten and is making a mistake in putting this story out there? Or do they think it's something more deliberate that the U.S. is trying to tie Pyongyang to the Ukraine war?
Well, the North thinks that the U.S. is deliberately making this claim that, you know, the North is selling these arms to Russia. And in fact, that was a big mistake that the U.S. made, and it's easy for the North to think this. After all, the U.S. has resumed military drills with its longtime ally, South Korea, large-scale ones aimed at invading the North and toppling the regime there and even assassinating the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un, and the North Korean leadership. So, of course, the North is going to think that this is deliberate, this claim made by the U.S. that the North is supplying arms to Russia, because that would weaken the regime in the eyes of many nations, and that would decrease support among many countries across the globe for North Korea. So the U.S. made a terrible mistake, which it later had to correct by saying we were wrong.
Okay. Good stuff, Jennifer. Stay safe. Always a pleasure to check in with you. From Seoul, Jennifer Chang there joining us. The Ukrainian president, meanwhile, Vladimir Zelensky, has urged the UN to punish Russia for its offensive against his country. Speaking via video to the UN General Assembly's annual summit, Zelensky said that Russia has violated the principles of the world body, and he called for the establishment of a special tribunal to hold Russia accountable for its military offensive against Ukraine. Zelensky called for a fund to compensate Ukrainians for damage suffered during the war. Ukrainian president also urged the UN to strip Russia of its veto power at the Security Council. Zelensky said that Kiev had a plan with five non-negotiable conditions to establish a durable peace. The plan includes punishment for the Russian aggression, restoration of Ukraine's territorial integrity, and security guarantees. He also rejected any suggestion that Kiev should adopt a neutrality. U.S. Central Bank has raised interest rates again in a bid to curb the country's highest inflation in over 40 years, which has been stoking fears now of a recession. The Fed has made it clear it will stick to its aggressive monetary policy to try to battle soaring prices. Experts believe raising the benchmark lending rate will slow down the economy and put a question mark on the credibility of the bank itself. The Fed has already increased interest rates four times this year. American families and businesses are feeling the heat of skyrocketing prices that have also become a political liability for President Joe Biden ahead of midterm congressional elections. Wall Street stocks fell sharply after the Fed enacted another three-quarter point interest rate hike and signaled more monetary tightening ahead. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished down 1.7%, while the broad-based S&P 500 also shed 1.7%. The NASDAQ Composite Index declined 1.8% as well. Recent data shows the cost of renting a home is sharply on the rise in the U.S., pushing already high consumer prices even higher. According to the Census Bureau's figures, household rents in 2021 jumped 10% from pre-pandemic levels. This as year-on-year end increases in the median household rent stood at 2-3% over the past decade. Surge in rents has forced many people to take on additional jobs or roommates to try to afford housing costs. Among those affected most are recent college graduates and younger workers. Larger properties saw even a bigger increase of almost 12% at the end of 2021 and the start of this year. That figure is about three times what it was in the 5 years prior to the COVID pandemic. Italy's elections are just 5 days away. Opinion polls show leader of the far-right Brothers of Italy party is a leading candidate to replace outgoing Prime Minister Mario Draghi. Max Civilli has your story out of Rome.
Italy is bracing itself for fresh elections on September 25 after the government of national unity led by Mario Draghi collapsed at the end of July. The former president of the European Central Bank and Goldman Sachs managing director Draghi had lost support of the once anti-establishment five-star movement, the League and Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia. These three parties failed to back him in a confidence vote on his leadership, triggering a government crisis that ended with President Sergio Mattarella calling for snap elections. This will be the first time the Italians go to the polls in September in the country's Republican history.
There is a strong disaffection with politics in Italy, but while in the elections held 5 years ago, the Five Star Movement was able to intercept people's anger and dissatisfaction. This time, there doesn't seem to be a party strong enough to do the same.
According to final polls, a right-wing coalition is on course to win a comfortable majority of seats in both houses of the parliament, with the far-right Brothers of Italy party likely to win about 25% of the vote. Its leader, 45-year-old Giorgia Meloni, could be Italy's next prime minister, the Italian media have reported. Her party took around 4% of votes in the last election in 2018.
I don't have faith in establishment politics, but I don't know who to vote for. At the same time, I think not voting could be even worse. I'm really undecided.
The truth is that I don't have much trust in politicians. Will they be able to keep their electoral pledges?
A few days ago, the U.S. government warned that Russian cash had been funneled to Italian parties sympathetic to the Kremlin without specifying which groups had been the recipients of the funds. Some analysts have seen the U.S. move as a warning to those parties which had expressed sympathy for Russian President Vladimir Putin over the past years.
I think the cabinet secretary with the security brief has already made clear that no Italian politicians nor political parties have received funding from Moscow. If Russia has meddled in elections held in foreign countries, it goes without saying the U.S. certainly did the same.
Over 51 million Italians are entitled to vote at the weekend. Sunday's elections will be held amid general disaffection and political discredit. Recent surveys have shown that some 35% of the Italians won't show up at the polls, a trend that, if confirmed, could put turnout at a record low. Max Civilli, Rome.
Thanks for joining us and stay tuned.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Spread of modern-day slavery. In this special program, we examine the problem of modern-day slavery, which affects tens of millions of people worldwide. Despite the fact that traditional slavery was abolished towards the end of the 19th century, nonetheless, slavery exists today, albeit in a different form, and tens of millions of people are affected by it. Please stay with us for more. But what is modern-day slavery? Trafficking in persons, human trafficking, and modern slavery are used as umbrella terms to refer to both sex trafficking and compelled labor or forced labor. Modern slavery is the severe exploitation of other people for personal or commercial gain. Modern slavery is all around us, but often just out of sight. People can become entrapped making our clothes, serving our food, picking our crops, working in factories, working in houses as cooks or cleaners, etc. From the outside, it can look like a normal job, but people are being controlled. They can face violence or threats or be forced into inescapable debt. But what is the most common form of modern slavery today? The most common form of modern slavery is bonded labor or debt bondage. Debt bondage is a form of forced labor and happens when a person is forced to work to pay off a debt. They are tricked into working for little or no pay at all, with no control over their debt. This is thought to be the most widespread form of modern-day slavery today. Some people are forced to work in mines or farms and receive little or no pay. Statistics show that modern slavery is very prevalent in some countries, with large numbers of people effectively working as slaves. Generally speaking, in countries where there is a lack of legislation, or the legislation has many loopholes and is weak, or where there is widespread corruption, or countries where laws are simply not enforced, we see the problem of modern-day slavery. Generally, the poorer sections of the population, or those who are not protected by the laws of the land, fall prey to modern-day slavery. Iranian journalist and writer Mohammad Dowlati defines modern slavery as, if a person is forced to work for little or no pay, possibly under very difficult circumstances, and other people benefit from this forced labor, and there is no way that person can escape from this predicament, then that person is a modern-day slave. Another aspect of modern slavery, which is not common knowledge, is that this phenomena has spread to many industrialized and developed countries, as well as developing nations and underdeveloped countries. For example, in Britain, an industrialized nation, there are at least 10,000 individuals who are classified as modern-day slaves. In fact, in virtually all Western nations who claim to champion human rights today, we see the problem of modern slavery in all of its different shapes and forms. One notable example is immigrant workers, mostly from Latin America, who work as seasonal labor in American farms, and in particular in the state of California. These immigrant workers are exploited heavily, receiving very little money for their work, and are often threatened with deportation from the United States. Another notable example is the trafficking of Eastern European women and girls to various countries in Western Europe, working as prostitutes and sex slaves. Sex trafficking from Eastern to Western Europe may also occur through a specific form of coercion, whereby individuals are compelled to continue in prostitution through the use of unlawful debt, purportedly incurred through their transportation, recruitment, or even their sale, which exploiters insist they must pay off before they can be set free. Another form of modern-day slavery is sex trafficking. Forced prostitution is another form of modern-day slavery, which we see most often in Western nations, particularly in Western Europe, North America, Eastern Europe, and Southeast Asia. The latest United Nations report called Global Estimates of Modern Slavery, published by the International Labour Organization, ILO, International Organization for Migration, IOM, and International Human Rights Group, Walk Free, revealed last year some 50 million people were living in modern slavery, 28 million of them in forced labor, and 22 million in forced marriages. According to the International Labor Organization's Director General, Guy Ryder, "It is shocking that the situation of modern slavery is not improving. Nothing can justify the persistence of this fundamental abuse of human rights." Compared to 2016 global estimates, 10 million more people were in modern slavery in 2021, with women and children disproportionately vulnerable. According to the United Nations report, modern slavery occurs in almost every country in the world and cuts across ethnic, cultural, and religious lines. And, of course, in industrialized and developed nations, we see this phenomena very clearly. More than half of all forced labor and quarter of all forced marriages can be found in upper-middle-income or high-income countries. 86% of forced labor cases are found in the private sector, with forced commercial sexual exploitation representing 23%, almost 4 out of 5 victims of whom are females. Forced labor is another form of modern-day slavery. Forced labor, sometimes also referred to as labor trafficking, is when a person uses force or physical threats, psychological coercion, abuse of the legal process, deception, or other coercive means to compel someone else to work. Once a person's labor is exploited by such means, the person's prior consent to work for an employer is legally irrelevant. The employer is a trafficker, and the employee is a trafficking victim. Migrants around the world are particularly vulnerable to this form of human trafficking. But individuals also may be forced into labor in their own countries. Female victims of forced or bonded labor, especially women and girls in domestic servitude, are often sexually abused or exploited as well. Another unsavory aspect of modern-day slavery is forced child labor. Although children may legally engage in certain forms of work, children can also be found in slavery or slavery-like situations. Some indicators of forced labor of a child include situations in which the child appears to be in the custody of a non-family member who requires the child to perform work that financially benefits someone outside of the child's family and does not offer the child the option of leaving the work, such as forced begging. Yet another aspect of modern-day slavery is unlawful recruitment and use of child soldiers in wars around the world. Child soldiering is a manifestation of human trafficking when it involves the unlawful recruitment or use of children through the use of force, fraud, or coercion by armed forces as combatants or other forms of labor. Perpetrators may be government armed forces, paramilitary organizations, or rebel groups around the world. Many children are forcibly abducted to be used as combatants in all sorts of wars and conflicts around the world.
Food for thought.
Salam, and if you're ready, here is some fresh food for thought in form of a maxim from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Relief is to protect the refugee, to be firm in misfortunes, and to be courageous in crises.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Signs of Justice. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the signs of justice in the Islamic lifestyle. When we look at the topic of justice and we see that Islam is emphasizing on justice, therefore we need to look at the signs as well. That what are the signs? When can we say that a person is observing justice? Because we have different meanings of justice. Some people in today's world, especially those are following the capitalism and the socialism, they have made their own definition of justice. And whatever is in their own favor, they call it justice. And if anything goes against them, they don't call it as justice, and they call it as something which is unfair. But we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he had made different governors and he sent them to different states, he has basically advised them and told them about the signs of someone who wants to observe justice, where he is at the place where he's ruling over the people, or he's a governor or the minister of a state, how he should. And there we see that Imam Ali has said, وَخْفِزْ لِلْرَعِيَّةِ جَنَاحَكَ, that whenever you're in front of people, you must be humble. You must be someone whose eyes are basically dropped down. And even when he lifts his eyes up, he do it with the fairness, that he does not look at one person and maybe he's ignoring the other. So he does not ignore the others. So he looks at everyone equally, so that no one thinks that maybe he has ignored that person, or maybe the other person is more favorable, or maybe he's more closer than him. Therefore, this is the first sign which Imam Ali has said, that if a person is at a state of governorship and he wants to observe the justice, he must look at everyone fairly so that no one thinks badly. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We'll be talking about the topic of justice and the signs of justice. Therefore, the first sign which we said is that whenever a person looks at others, he looks fairly so that no one feels bad. The second thing is whenever he says salam to the people, to a group, he meets everyone in the same way. In the same way, so that no one feels bad or maybe having a bad feeling about the person. And whenever he meets those people who have influence in the society, maybe there are investors, maybe there are politicians, maybe there are other people who have influence on the people, or maybe they are at this position, when he sees them in an equal way, so that the others who do not have any status or position, they don't feel bad about it. They don't feel that he's going to give a favor to these people only, and this person's going to ignore us, because the one who does not have any reference, maybe there is a person who is in need, he wants a help, but he does not know anyone. He does not have any reference. He does not know any person, or maybe he does not have money. So when you see them, you meet them in a good way, so that they feel secure when they're seeing you. So they feel that you have warmly welcomed them when they're coming to you. You're listening to them with the attention. And this is what we need to look for, because when we are socializing with the people, and especially when we are at a place, for example, someone is a manager or maybe he's a supervisor or responsible for something, therefore, whenever he's meeting others, he should meet them in a way that no one feels bad, no one feels that he's giving a specific favor to someone else. And everyone should feel that he is equally dealing with everyone. And this is what Islam is emphasizing on, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In continuation with wrong policies, the Biden administration increased the sale of arms to Taiwan with all its might, causing China's anger and concern. Taiwan is under the sovereignty of China, and America has recognized this issue, but the American government continues to interfere in China's internal affairs. And by illegally selling weapons to Taiwan, it is trying to separate it from mainland China. Analysts say the U.S. is trying to implement the Ukrainian model in Taiwan and start a war in this region. Also, China charged the United States with violating its commitment to the One China principle and interfering in China's internal affairs. We have taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. First of all, we look at SputnikNews.com's website coverage of this issue.